I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, an appreciation of an especially decorated and durable soccer player. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
How do you decorate a soccer player?
Oh, well, it's simple. You hang medals around her neck until she can no longer hold up her head. With the NFL playoffs upon us, we should talk about the fact that the rules have changed, and this time I'm not talking about late hits and headhunting, but about what will transpire if two teams are tied at the end of the game. What happens then?
All kinds of stuff that I don't pretend to understand. All I do know is you can't win now in overtime just by going down 25 yards and kicking a field goal. Other stuff happens after that. As for what that is, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
So, let me get this straight. We're hoping for a tie so that this plays out and we all learn how it happens.
All right. You asked for it. Okay. So, anyway, they can't win. They can't win on a first possession field goal. That can't happen, okay? If both teams kick field goals on their first possessions, the next team to score wins. Apparently, score of any nature wins the game. If one team kicks a field goal and the other team does it on the first possession, then the game's over. And any touchdown wins the game at any time, period. Maybe.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
I think we're going to have to take these out for a test drive.
The New York Jets play Indianapolis this evening. The team is also facing lawsuits by two massage therapists based on the behavior of Brett Favre when he was in the Jets' employ. And then there's that $100,000 fine because their strength coach tripped an opposing player as he went running by. So why is Jets coach Rex Ryan spending his time questioning the skills of Patriots quarterback Tom Brady?
Well, because he's been presiding over a circus for the entire season. He's jealous of some of the other clowns at this point. I don't know. He praised Peyton Manning and needled Tom Brady at about the same time, saying that, you know, Brady gets more help from Bill Belichick than Peyton Manning does from Jim Caldwell. Rex Ryan is a lot of fun for New York newspapers. His abilities to run a franchise are still pretty much under question, I think.
College football's championship game takes place on Monday. Auburn arrived to much fanfare on a 400-seat chartered airliner filled with players and fans. And the
Boosters. Players
have already been spotted at Scottsdale area nightclubs, which will surprise everybody. Meanwhile, Oregon arrived quietly and the players have been given a curfew. So does this in any way indicate who's going to win the game on Monday?
No, it doesn't at all, but it does indicate what a complete farce college sports is. Again!
Michigan head coach Rich Rodriguez was not fired last year when his program was disciplined by the NCAA for practice and training violations. He was fired this week after Michigan lost in the Gator Bowl by 38 points. So there's a lesson in there somewhere, I guess.
Don't lose.
By 38 points.
Don't lose by 3 points, but especially don't lose by 38 points.
Most likely, Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck would have been the number one pick in the NFL draft had he chosen to make himself available, but he announced this week that he will return to Stanford instead. Hopefully, he'll have a lucky year without any injuries. Get it?
Yes.
Lucky?
Very. I saw what you did there. What a thing.
Football.
This is a nice story for everyone, and I hope to heaven that Andrew Luck has a really good insurance agent.
Apparently, Charlie, billboards have sprung up in Columbus, Ohio, congratulating TCU on its Rose Bowl win over Wisconsin. So, TCU, that's in Texas. Wisconsin, that's in Wisconsin. Who's running billboards in Ohio?
TCU people who remember that Ohio State referred to college football teams like TCU as playing, quote, the Little Sisters of the Poor. Sooner or later, the Little Sisters of the Poor are going to get really angry and start beating people up for being like the metaphor of choice for weakness in all sports. I can hardly wait for this attack of the nuns on every sports writer in America.
One of your favorite institutions,
yeah!
The Baseball Hall of Fame, will induct two new members in the spring, Bert Blyleven and Roberto Alomar. Good additions?
You know, the people who take this thing seriously, the fools, tell me they are. So I say they are. I was kind of intrigued by what else happened on the bat. Barry Larkin came very close, which sort of surprises me, actually. I hadn't given Barry Larkin a minute of thought since he left baseball. And, of course, Jess Bagwell was held down because people are waxing philosophical about the possibility of steroid-era players getting into the Hall of Fame, which I've heard it explained as, we're going to keep all these guys we suspect. We have no proof, mind you. We suspect. We're going to keep them out until we develop a standard, but we're not sure if we're ever going to develop a standard.
Or what it will be.
This is why this whole thing should be taken away from these people and handed over to the first 25 people you meet sleeping on steam grates outside the Boston Public Library.
After one of several recent Lakers losses, head coach Phil Jackson said, and I'm quoting now, "We get behind early in the third quarter on some stupid plays, and then Kobe has to screw up the game." Was a clarification forthcoming, or are the Lakers trying to get rid of Kobe Bryant?
I have no idea. I know Phil Jackson is trying. He's trying to get rid of his quote. He said, I use that term "screw it up," not in terms of it being an error or a mistake, but crank it up. What?
No.
What is he talking about?
Screwed up means screwed up.
Screwed up means you made a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like getting involved with voting for the Hall of Fame.
That's kind of what I thought. WNBA star Diana Taurasi has been tossed off the team for which she was playing in Turkey. She failed a drug test. Taurasi had signed a multi-year contract with the WNBA, and of course she was expected to play in her third Olympics in 2012. Do you think either of these institutions will be forgiving?
I don't know. It's a very interesting question. It depends on how hard the international doping police lean on the American governing bodies, I would think.
Charlie, last week, Ted Williams was a homeless guy with a great voice.
I thought he was a dead slugger.
This is a different Ted Williams,
sorry,
and you know that as well as I do. And
does
this
he have
week,
a head?
He's in any case,
yes.
Ted Williams, the latter, has been offered an announcing job with the Cavaliers, and the team has offered to buy him a house. You think they'll just give him LeBron's old place?
This guy, I mean, everybody's seen this by now, so we're way behind the curve on this, YouTube being YouTube. This is the guy from the homeless guy in Columbus, Ohio, with the absolutely amazing pipes, who seems to have been born, you know, to the people who do movie trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I think this guy very well may be the next John Facenda. If this guy's not working for NFL Films within 3 years, I'll be amazed.
In an attempt to take attention away from allegations that the latest round of World Cup bidding was less than completely honest,
no!
This week FIFA President Sepp Blatter lashed out at the International Olympic Committee's financial practices. He said that organization handles money, quote, like a housewife. I just can't imagine that this is going to make things better for Mr. Blatter.
Well, I wonder how Mrs. Sepp Blatter, who already has enough problems being named that, having married into it, feels about this. Yes, the IOC, but then again, the FIFA handles money like a housewife who engages in international bribery and deceit. So what's the difference?
It's a busy housewife.
It is.
This week, Mikhail Zislas, the media officer for the Russian team that won gold at the World Junior Hockey Championship, said, I cannot sleep because everybody in Russia is calling me, asking me what's going on. What was going on?
Well, the Russian junior hockey team won a great game against Canada. They scored 5 unanswered goals to beat the Canadians 5-3. And then, you know what it was, as we say around Kiev, party! Da-da-da! And they partied so hardy, they got thrown off their plane and were stuck in Buffalo.
And finally, Charlie, lots of people thought the television special with which LeBron James announced that he was leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers was over the top, and it appears that King James has learned to tone down his celebrations. Describe for us, please, LeBron's birthday cake.
He has a birthday cake that looks very much like the Stanley Cup, except it goes all the way
it's
to the
bigger.
Ceiling. Except it goes all the way to the ceiling.
It's multicolored.
How much of this
and it has crowns
yeah,
on
and
it.
Crystal, how much of this gold. Cake is actually edible? I mean, you get lead poisoning eating this thing.
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America, and what an idiot cake that is. Various other books as well. He joins me each week on All the E-Game. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
If you'd like to see the picture of LeBron's birthday cake, tweeted by the king himself, visit our website, onlyagame.org, and maybe you'll have some leftovers there in the fridge.